This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And this morning, talking with State Representative Jeff Helfrich, a Republican from Hood River, recently selected as the House Republican leader. Jeff, good morning. Thank you for being on.
Yeah, good morning. How are you doing today?
We are, well, it's raining, but other than that, I think we're doing all right. Talk about, first of all, the role that you have accepted. What does it entail to be the House Republican leader?
You know, there's a lot that goes into that leadership role, but I think I just want to say it's an honor to serve the caucus in Salem and guide through policy, guide through discussions, but also we have an opportunity to look at picking up seats in the state of Oregon and getting some more Republicans elected. So the job itself is, as a leader, I look at myself as a servant leader, which I'm leading from the front, but I'm representing all of our representatives who are elected. And in those elected roles, they all have different ideas and thoughts, and they have different ideas and thoughts for their communities. And so we have to collectively come together with the best policies that we can address for each individual community or each individual's district, but also the state as a whole. And so my job is to make sure we push those ideas forward, to have conversations with the speaker, conversations with the governor, conversations with the Senate president, and figure out a strategy that we can win and win in the policy conversation, because we need to win policy conversations, we have to win on the House floor, and we need to win elections. And it's not necessarily in that order to get to the majority, but to get to have a seat at the table to have those conversations is very important. And that's what I see my role as, but there's a lot of other directions you get pulled in that I didn't see coming right away. And then I've all of a sudden, oh, here's another direction I get pulled in to try to help deal with problems. But I got great staff getting everything lined up right now. But it's just a true honor to be selected by my peers to represent them as leader in the Oregon Republican chamber.
So when the previous leader stepped down, what led to you deciding to take this position?
There was conversations from different people about what my role could be in leadership. I bring a lot of different things to the table, just from my time in the military to I was a police officer in the city of Portland for over 25 years. And in that time, I took different leadership roles there, became a sergeant, had different roles and responsibilities there. But it's about managing people, managing expectations. It's about doing the right things for the right reason. And people saw that in me, that I'm a committed servant to the public. And when I was asked to step up to this role, people asked me if I was interested in it. I stepped up and did it. You know, it's not about me. It's about the state of Oregon. It's about saving our state, saving our communities from all the things that we see bad happening, from Measure 110, taxes, people leaving. It's all those things there. And I said, they asked me if I would step into that role, and I said yes, but knowing full well that you're going to have different views. And so I think I've got a really good ability to sit and listen, but also get all our ideas together and make them good and present them and move them forward. And I just want to help is really what all I want to do, is just help our party, help our representatives, help our communities, help our state get in the direction that gets us to the best results.
So for Republicans in the legislature, talk about the challenge of trying to achieve legislative success while currently being in the minority.
You know, I get asked that question a lot. And my track record when I was in the state legislature in 17 through the first part of 19, before the actual 19 session started, I worked in a bipartisan way. But when I was elected this last time and returned to Salem, I was put on the Housing and Homeless Committee as vice chair, and I worked really well with Chair Dexter. I defined with her what the no-goes were in my thoughts and where I thought policy should be, but that was also talking with the rest of the representatives that are part of our caucus, and we were able to work on a package it was first the governor's package, or it was the chair's package, and then it ended up being the governor's package, and we were able to get some things done for Oregon through good conversation, sitting at the table and negotiating. And I was able to bring, 2001 to the House floor. We, a lot of Republicans voted for it. A lot of Democrats did, and some didn't too, because of the price tag. But we were able to get, they had the seven continuums of care that were identified through the housing and homelessness. But the eighth continuum of care that was identified through DHS or through, it's the federal level, how they recognize these continuums of care, they left out most of the rest of Oregon to get those emergency dollars for the shelters, for the beds, for the homeless. And so we worked really hard on that. We worked hard on workforce housing for our fruit growers across the state to get them dollars, because the state kept putting more restriction on what that housing was like on the on-farm housing. And so there's that track record there, that bipartisan. There's other legislations that I worked with, you know, senators from the other side of the aisle for having childcare in communities that are deserts, where people can't go to work because it's too expensive for them to have childcare, so they stay home. But now we're offering their abilities to get more childcare into different communities. And then the other part of that was the governor's bill that came out, 3414, which would increase housing production. I was able to get more Republicans to show up to vote for that than Democrats were. We got it across the finish line in the House. And then in the Senate, it missed by one vote. And so that was disappointing that that happened, but we're working on solutions. And that's just getting everybody at the table to have a conversation. We can't keep throwing grenades and can't keep yelling at each other. Let's sit down and have a conversation. And those two bills, I think, were three bills, were really highlights of, if you can sit down, have a conversation, and put limits and side rails on what you're willing to negotiate on and what you're not willing to negotiate on, and you work within that space. If we keep talking about guns and abortion, you know, we're going to get those hot button topics, and let's quit talking about those issues. Let's talk about what real Oregonians really want to happen. And I bring that ability at the table for that.
What are your top goals? I mean, I know you're just getting started in this role, but what are your top goals right now for House Republicans?
Right now, the topics that we're talking about are Measure 110 reforms. You know, we can have the repeal, replace, or repeal and, you know, recriminalize the drugs and get people help. There's a couple ballot measures that are getting ready to drop on the ballot. There's a lot of stuff there, but, you know, my law enforcement background, we have to hold people accountable. Measure 110 has been a disaster from the beginning. And that's probably one of the top priorities. And with Measure 110, what that also does is it hurts community safety, because if you're having people that are using drugs that are affected by these terrible drugs dying, or to feed their habit, they start stealing stuff. They start stealing catalytic converters. They start stealing people's property. They start stealing all these things and making communities not feel safe. And then you watch the tent cities grow up and explode everywhere. Those are those community safety issues that we have to start. And Measure 110 is the starting point of that. The other part is, you know, the CAT tax. We're hurting our businesses by this. If we are able to bring in, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars for these fabs or these tech industries to bring chip manufacturing back to Oregon, why can't we use that as a blueprint for the rest of businesses and provide those opportunities for build out in their infrastructure and build out and boo these businesses back to Oregon? So those are two top ones. But the other parts of that, we're watching the natural gas try to get banned and all these things they're saying. You know, a few years ago, it was you have to get rid of coal fire plant or coal power plants because coal is bad. We're going to switch to natural gas. Well, now all of a sudden, natural gas is bad. And people keep talking out of both sides of their mouths on this one, and I don't like it. Either natural gas is good or bad. It's good. We have it. Let's use that as a resource for us. We can't ban that. And then the industry, when they're talking about replacing diesel fuels, you know, diesel runs a lot of industry around here, not only from construction, but our farming. And so there's a lot of talk about wanting to ban that. We can't have that either. And then, you know, back to the taxation, the CAT tax, but there's a lot of hidden property tax or a lot of hidden sales taxes that get added, these fees, these cuts by 1,000 cuts, and how we're just draining people's dollars out of their bank accounts because they have to pay fee after fee after fee. And we have to stop that and have some common sense policy in that. And there's a lot of smart people in the room that I need to bring in there to get their ideas and what that looks like. And that's, for me, is I understand that I'm not an expert on everything, and there's a lot of experts out there, and we got to get these good ideas going. But that's kind of the baseline where we're going to go with that. But community safety is the biggest one, and the taxation, because people are leaving the state. If you look at Portland, 20,000 people in Multnomah County vacated Multnomah County, and when their tax rolls came in, they were $1.2 billion less in bringing in taxes. That says a lot for just Multnomah County. What's the rest of the state like? And I know I see the homeless problem moving out here. We have to address that. We have to get housing opened up, housing production, land use is a big topic. So all these things kind of coalesce together, and we got to fight for Oregonians. We got to make it so people want to live here, they can afford to live here.
I want to expand for a moment on what you mentioned there about Measure 110. Talk about your perspective on it, particularly as a former police officer.
You know, I have a very unique perspective, more than most in that building. And one of the things I continue to hear is it needs more time. The money needs to get there. And it's had enough time to work and that they knew it was going to get passed, why weren't all these systems and set up? And you have, for me, being on the street, watching people overdose on drugs, giving them Narcan, bringing them back, saving their lives. And they're mad that I use Narcan because it ruined their high. People make choices, and you don't know if you have addictive personality until you do. And we need to do a better job of education, but we have to stop the flow of drugs. And it's coming from the southern border. You know, that's, we can't control that in Oregon, but what we can control is the criminalization and the ability for accountability. And the social justice reform in the criminal justice system has taken a lot of accountability away. They've, looking back retrospect, looking in the mirror instead of what's in front of us in our windshield. And you just can't do, what they're doing right now is a failed experiment. You know, there's this study that came out from one of the people that works for the Outside In that did this study. It says, well, drugs have not increased our people dying from fentanyl. I wholeheartedly believe that it's not true. If fentanyl was criminalized and you arrested people for the possession of it, they would be overdosing on it. They would, the criminals, the drug dealers would get arrested and more prosecution of those crimes. And when you, that person from the outside in that did this, wrote part of this study, well, they're the ones getting millions of dollars from Measure 110. And they were the ones that were supporting this. So when you look at that and they say, well, it's not working, we need to have more time, it's there's not overdose deaths because of Measure 110, I'm going to push the button and say you're wrong because I see it. It's a direct cause. If you look out, you read the newspaper, you hear things, people are dying from fentanyl at an exceedingly high rate. Why is that? Because there's no accountability in this, and we got to hold people accountable and let police officers do their jobs, let the district attorneys do their jobs, and be mindful, there are some district attorneys that don't do their job. You look at the one in Multnomah County right now, and they will say, well, we don't have enough prosecutors or we don't have enough defense attorneys to do all these things. Arrest people, get them the treatment, and move on. But they keep coming up with excuses why they can't. And we have to get to yes instead of no all the time. And that's the type of the legislator I want to be, is let's get to yes and not no. And you look at, you know, I railed on the House floor on Measure 110. When are we going to hold people accountable? When is this going to work? And it's not worked. It's, this experiment's gone bad. And there are very few times that I will agree with the mayor of Portland, but this is one of them when he said, we need to look in the mirror and say, Measure 110 is not working. We need to fix it. And that's one of the first times I ever agreed with him, because he let all the riots happen to begin with, and now he's turning around and saying he wants to do all these great things so he can save his legacy. And it's like, you started this, and now you're trying to fix what you started. I don't buy that, but we have to fix 110, and whoever needs to be at the table to do that, let's get it done.
All right, we're out of time for now, but I look forward to talking with you again. Representative Jeff Helfrich of Hood River, House Republican leader, thanks for being on this morning.
Hey, I really appreciate it, and thank you.
844 at the Morning Report.